Next on BYUSN, let's dial it in because the latest NBA mock drafts are out for the 2025 class. How has Yegor Demin's slow start in Big 12 play affected his draft stock? And with BYU basketball dropping their first two quad one games in Big 12 competition, is it time to start worrying about the Cougars' NCAA tournament chances?
ESPN's Sean Farnham joins us to evaluate BYU's start to Big 12 play and give the scouting report for Saturday's game on the road against TCU. And would we rather have BYU football switch places with SMU and lose in the college football playoff?
Oh, boy.
Or leave BYU in a dominant Alamo Bowl victory over Colorado?
Just a few loaded questions on the show today. Welcome to the show, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Thursday, January 9th. Hope you're enjoying it. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who is willing to let some hard feelings go because we love and learn and always welcome back some legacy players back to BYU. He is Jason Shepherd.
Look, I think this is a super cool story. I love the fact yesterday BYU football announcing that the son of Jeff Grimes, Garrison Grimes, has signed with BYU football.
Oh, the world is healing.
I think that is an awesome story. And he comes in, he's been the Baylor long snapper for the last three seasons. He's got one more year of eligibility, so he's going to come and do that here at BYU. I think that's awesome.
It is. It's a fantastic story. And just added to the long list of crazy things that have happened featuring BYU and prominent BYU people that are now at different schools and some coming back. But I mean, think about it. Bronco Mendenhall's at Utah State.
Yep.
Jason Beck, Mark Atuai, and Micah Simon are all up at the University of Utah. BYU's got a bunch of people from Utah now in Provo. And we got a Grimes coming back to Provo as well from Baylor.
Tis the season, right? These are the times we live in.
All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending. People are enamored with Yegor, and they should be.
Goes down the lane and throws it down.
I hope they gave me an assist for that.
This kid has tremendous potential.
He is just frankly the best player on the floor.
Enjoy Yegor while he's playing at BYU. What's Trending, presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. You may have guessed, but Yegor Demin is on topic because updated NBA mock drafts from ESPN and The Athletic were released earlier this morning. ESPN has Demin going number 8 still overall to the Sacramento Kings, while The Athletic has him going number 7 to the Brooklyn Nets. So, Jason, despite the slow start in Big 12 play, he's still a top 10 pick right now. But his evaluation from ESPN's Jeremy Wu is what really stands out in this mock draft conversation. Let's read it together, shall we? And I quote, after a strong start catapulted him into top 5 pick discussions, Demin has become a divisive evaluation for NBA teams following several poor showings against quality competition and missing most of December due to a knee injury. He continues, Demin has a case as the best pure passer in the draft, which coupled with his size makes him quite intriguing because teams are attracted to big, unselfish playmakers. His lack of strength and foot speed has made it difficult for him to create off the dribble, which could inhibit his ability to play a heavy on-ball role in the long run. Couple that with limited defensive utility, and there's some downside to his profile as well. Demin still has plenty of believers in front offices, but likely will need to turn around his season to gather momentum as a high lottery pick, end quote. I know there are a lot of verbs and words there that are going back and forth on what Yegor Demin is, but the fact remains, Jason, everybody still thinks he's a lottery pick.
Yes.
That matters in these publications. Do you feel like what I just read is a fair evaluation of Yegor Demin's draft stock?
To me, what this says, I think most of this and what was said, and look, Jonathan Givony, I've actually, in a previous life, I've had Jonathan Givony on sports shows that I've produced for years.
Have you?
So I've gotten to know him and know he puts in the work. He knows what he's doing. But to me, a lot of this goes away if Yegor's jump shot's falling right now. I think that's what a lot of this boils down to.
Take away a few turnovers, make a few more shots.
I think that's really what this boils down to. He was making the shots in the non-conference. And since coming back from the injury, the jump shot has not fallen. The three-point shot has not fallen to the consistency that we saw earlier. And I think really that's what this boils down to. I told you this morning when we were going through our pre-show meeting. Look, his passing alone is going to make sure he's a lottery pick.
That's what it said. They believe he's the best pure passer in the draft.
That alone is going to make him a lottery pick. So I'm not overly concerned about this. It's going to take some time. This is a brand new league. It's still a new style for him. He's learning all that. I agree with the physicality, but I don't think it's just Yegor. I think overall, everybody's just sort of got to get used to the physicality. And for those that maybe didn't play in the Big 12 last year, it is something you have to get used to. It is a very physical league. So I'm not overly concerned because I know what the talent level is. I know how good Yegor is. And let's not forget how young he is. And yes, he's played basketball for a couple of years, even being as young as he is.
He's 18.
But the talent is there. You can see it. The shot will start to fall. And to me, that's what a lot of this boils down to. If that shot falls, some of this criticism that you're starting to see, I think that goes away.
Yes, and I would like to point out that I've had multiple conversations with a bunch of different coaches on the staff. They're very aware of Yegor's status post-injury and that it takes a little while, one, to just get back in the flow of the game in general. Then you throw in that he came back literally at the start of Big 12 conference play. And that is doubly challenging because now the speed of the game picks up, the importance of the games pick up, and the physicality certainly goes to another level. So you have to give a young player time to adjust, even if he's healthy going into the conference. But now you throw in the fact that he sat out almost a full month. He just needs time. He is absolutely lottery worthy. He is a special player. We saw some flashes of it against Texas Tech. He went on one of those, as Kevin Young called it, Yegor blitzes for about 6 minutes where I was like, yeah, this is the guy. Yeah. Give him time and that will become more consistent. I know everybody wants it right now. You can say the same thing about Dallin Hall, frankly, while we're talking about the guard line, Jason. Dallin, in some coaches' opinions, was the best player for BYU coming into the season through practice. Then he hurt his toe and lost that explosive nature, and he's trying to find that groove again. It's unfortunate that both of them, in their own right, are coming off tough injuries and trying to get used to playing cohesively together and understand their dynamic, and then the Big 12 comes into play. You just got to give them time. And that's never easy. Growing pains and finding the groove again, waiting for that. It's never fun. It's never easy. But right now, yes, this is a fair evaluation of Yegor. He's still a lottery pick. He's still special. He's going to show up more and more. And Dallin Hall is going to get back to what he's been doing as well. Might not be as dominant at times as Dallin was last year because he has to share some of that with Yegor. But both of these guys just need a little more time. It's going to click, Jason. It's going to click.
Going to the ESPN portion of it where they haven't projected number 8 to the Kings, I don't know if you had this thought as well, but I immediately had PTSD.
Yeah, no.
Like, please don't let this happen. We do not need another BYU player in the lottery getting selected by the Kings. Please do not let that happen.
Better yet, don't have the Bucks draft him and trade him to the Kings.
Yeah, exactly. Drafted by the Bucks, traded to the Kings. Yes, please just don't let that
Fair
happen.
Fair assessment right now.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
It's fine.
It's okay.
Yes. There is time. We're talking about, we're in the middle of January, so you're in to the conference season, but there's still time. It's the same record they had last year at this time.
Ask me on February 1st if we're still having the same conversation about Yegor.
Yes.
Give me 3 more weeks, and if it's still the case where it's still more of the same, then we start to get more concerned. But I feel very confident it will get better.
Okay, so we've been talking about individual players. Let's go to the overall team. Is it time to start worrying about BYU's NCAA tournament chances, in your opinion?
No. We're 3 games into the Big 12. It's 3 games. No. They have 17 more Big 12 games. I don't know if you've heard, but men's basketball in this conference play 20 league games. I know that right now, if the tournament started today, BYU would not be in. Oh, my gosh, Spencer, what's happened? They have not played even a quarter of the games they're going to play in the Big 12 Conference to get them tournament ready. I still think this team's going to win 10 conference games. I don't think that is blue-goggled in the least. It's way too early. Let BYU go and have an opportunity to try and play well on the road for the first time, Jason. They get that this weekend at TCU. If BYU wins at TCU, and I know some of you are like, well, that's not going to happen. You don't know. You don't know. But if they do and they're 2-2 through four games, okay, right back on track. If BYU loses on the road, and let's say they're not competitive and they get blown out again and that continues, then I understand, okay, now the concern, I believe, gets a little more validated. But I think they're going to be competitive, and I think they're going to be in a great position to win that game and get to 2-2 through the first four. It's just too early.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. It is way too early. Look, I understand we all when you get into sports, there are certain things that you want to check on a daily basis and you want to keep up on. And the NCAA tournament and the bubble watch and bracketology and all that stuff, it's fun to watch, but it can also drive you insane. Following it as closely as we do.
It's like watching your 401k day to day. Don't do it!
Don't do it!
Look at it once a month!
You have so many more games. You have the bulk of the entire Big 12 schedule to play still. So, no, I'm not overly concerned right now about their NCAA tournament chances. In fact, they haven't changed. I still think they are going to be in the NCAA tournament. So it's just a slow start. There is plenty of time for them to ramp up and get to be the team that we all think they are and that they believe they are.
Let's just assess what BYU's resume is right now. And with people saying, oh, I'm so frustrated, this team's got so much talent, it's just not clicking. They're 10-4. They still have a top 50 net at 48. They're 44 in KenPom. They're 36 in ESPN's Basketball Power Index. I know 1-4 in quad 1-2 games doesn't look great. But they play like a million quad 1-2 games in the next 2 months. That will get better. Let's say they have 5 or 6 quad 1 and quad 2 wins. And they finish with 9 or 10 league wins, they're going to be a tournament team, okay? So as frustrating as it might be right now, the numbers, if BYU wins a few big games, they're in position to make a very big jump in all of these metrics. They're still in great position. Let them have an opportunity to go and win a quad one game at TCU on Saturday.
Think back a year ago at this time. A year ago, we know how the season played out, that BYU did go to the NCAA tournament. But this time last year, was anybody thinking that that was probably going to be the case?
If they were, they say they were, you're lying.
So that you just, it's the same situation. It's the exact same situation. You've got to give each team its own time to find its groove. This team will find it. There's way too much talent on it for it to not happen.
Jason, everybody wants the nicest, newest equipment, okay? You want the nicest computer, you want the nicest phone, you want the nicest car, you want the nicest sports equipment. When you get it, it doesn't automatically make you incredible. You got to get used to it, and you got to understand like everything that it does and dive into the owner's manual and really have this cohesion, this cohesive moment with this said technology. Same applies for a basketball team. You got to grow together. You got to get into that instruction manual and you got to work through some of this stuff. It's boring, it's methodical, but then it will pay off. I trust Kevin Young. I trust this staff. And I know that this talent will get better. It will click. Give them a few more weeks. Hopefully we start to see something turn the corner at TCU this weekend.
It's a great opportunity for BYU to go on the road and sort of begin to change that narrative.
Yes, now you have a quad one road win.
Yes.
If you beat TCU. I believe in this team.
Yeah.
It just is going to take a little bit more time. The talent is there. And it's not going away. They're locked in for the season. I don't know why I'm yelling so much today, but clearly I'm passionate. I apologize, Jason. Welcome back to the show. I'm just going to yell at you for 10 minutes.
Hey, that's perfectly fine. That's no problem. I need to go read my owner's manual, though.
Are you cohesive with your car?
I am cohesive, yes. I've had it for 5 years. You're right on that. First couple of days with a brand new car or something like that, it's very awkward.
Yes.
Like, it's so hot in here. How do I turn this down? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Got to get used to all the technology.
You got to get used to the gadgets.
Come on. Our question of the day is this. On a scale of 1 to 10, how concerned are you about BYU's NCAA tournament chances right now? At S1 Matt on X says, an 8. Whoa.
That's real concern. I do like they finally showed a good defensive effort despite getting worked by Darian Williams, Texas Tech, down the stretch. The team still feels like it has no identity and lacks chemistry. They're searching for those things. They're figuring some things out. An 8 right now? Oh, man, that just seems really high. At Jason Suture on X answers, 1, there are lots of games left to play and improve. I'm probably like a 2. I'm like a 2 on the scale.
Yeah,
right now.
1 or 2 for me. Yeah, it's like you would rather them not be 1-2 in conference play.
Yeah, if they're 1-3 and they get blown out by TCU, heaven forbid.
Yeah.
Then I probably go up to like a 3 or 4. Like,
but
okay.
For us to say that this team is this today and they're going to be the same in another month, it's ridiculous.
Come on. No, give it time. Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join that conversation.
BYU basketball with Kevin Young and player guest Mawat Mag. We'll look ahead to Saturday's game against TCU. That happens tonight at 8:30 Eastern time on the BYU TV app.
After the break, we discuss BYU's NCAA tournament resume, Yegor Demian's draft stock, and previewed Saturday's game against TCU with the fabulous Sean Farnham of ESPN, who is joining us from LA. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
You can't afford to lose games at home in this conference.
But we're seeing a new coach, a new staff, a new roster still trying to figure it out while they're playing teams that have. It's just going to take some time.
Once it clicks, I think it's going to be pretty awesome.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton, teamed up with Jason Shepherd. It is now our pleasure to welcome back once again for his weekly segment the always entertaining and insightful Sean Farnham, ESPN college basketball analyst and insider. Sean, great to have you on the show. I want to talk about your T-shirt in a moment, but we have to start with how in the world are you and your family? I know you're in Southern California and the wildfires are out of control. How are things going with all of the chaos down there?
Yeah, you know, it's been a really bad 2 days. That's an understatement. My sister I was doing the game at St. Mary's on Tuesday night, and while I was on the air, I was getting texts from my sister as she was evacuating her home in Altadena. We don't know if her house is actually still standing. My house, the winds were the big problem. A neighbor down the street had a massive tree, like, literally fall and just smash their house into two. Then last night there was a fire less than a mile away from my house that thankfully the firefighters were able to put out before it spread anywhere. So it's been a really, like, it's like it looks apocalyptic, really. It does. Like, there's no other way to describe it because there's fires everywhere. I've had friends lose their homes and everything in the Palisades. So it has been really, really difficult. And to be honest, I totally forgot that we were doing this until I got a text. But I haven't had power in 2 days. So this is the first time I've had power. It came on at 3:47 in the morning. We got power back to our house. And that's the first time in 2 days that we've had power. So I'm hoping that the worst is over. But the winds will pick up a little bit later on today here in Southern California. And our hope is that the firefighters will have a good enough grasp on the firefighters and have enough air support to knock some of these flames down and allow this to be over sooner rather than later, because it's been awful. It's there's not a person in Los Angeles that this hasn't impacted in one way or another. I'm concerned for my sister's home right now, and hopeful that when they get an opportunity to get back in to the neighborhood, that her home will still be there. But for so many, that's not the case. And so I feel very fortunate, very blessed that my house is safe. My family is safe. Hoping that this is all over soon.
Well, and as you mentioned, you know, it's not a person in the area that hasn't been touched by this. And even if, you know, your home or somebody that you know wasn't involved in the actual fires, with the smoke, the air quality is so bad, and there's so many people with breathing problems that it just is so many lasting effects on things like this. That, to your point, everybody's going to deal with it.
Yeah, my kids aren't in school, you know, and they're scared. And you know, my children have had a lot of anxiety over the last 2 days. And, you know, we're using air blow up mattresses and putting the kids on the floor in the room because they just want to be close to where we are. The air quality has been awful, and it's going to probably be awful for a little while. Because I don't even with the strong winds that we've had. I mean, a lot of it has been blowing out towards the ocean, but because of where all the fires are located, how spread out it is, there isn't an area in Los Angeles that doesn't have poor air quality right now. I just hope that the wind that picks up later today is not as bad as it has been. I'm thankful that I have the ability to actually now see what's going on, because we didn't even have TV. There's no TV. There's no internet. We had no way of really knowing to the full extent of what was going on over the last 2 days, unless we found a friend's house that had a backup generator and we could go hang out over there, make dinner, get a little bit of news updates and find out really what was going on. But it's been unlike anything I've ever seen. You know, and I've been through earthquakes. Like, I was through the 89 earthquake in San Francisco.
Yeah.
That rocked the World Series. Been through earthquakes down here in Southern California. And those events, they happen, and then you knew the devastation, and you knew what you were dealing with, and you immediately went into recovery mode. Southern California right now is still not in recovery mode. It is still in survival mode. And the firefighters, I know, I have many friends that are firefighters that have been out working 36 consecutive hours. Like, I mean, just insane what they've been doing. But one of them got back to the station last night, was going to be able to get a little bit of sleep. And she told me, she's like, it's unlike anything I've ever seen. And they're just trying to survive. I mean, the winds are so bad. They were category 2 hurricane gusts.
Good grief.
Wow.
I mean, just think about that. We're talking about Southern California. We don't get those. We get winds. Like, the Santa Ana winds are legitimate. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced it. But the category, we got up to category 2 hurricane gusts. That's insane. And the embers were flying. And then once they flew, you know, you'd see a fire on television. And then a quarter of a mile, a half a mile away, there's another fire that's starting. You're like, well, how did that fire start? The embers were just literally carrying that far. It's been insane. And again, I'm hoping that the winds, when they pick up later today, they're not like that, and that we'll be able to get through this.
Sean, let me double down and speak for BYU Sports Nation and everyone that resides in it, and certainly to the alumni base in Southern California, when we say that we are specifically praying and offering supplication for you and your family and everyone that's being impacted by this. We certainly appreciate you joining us amid such a chaotic time in your life. And we know that...
Yeah, if I'm not as good today, just understand that. That's part of it.
It's unbelievable that you are on the show today. And it just shows your commitment to this. And clearly, we're talking about things that matter way less. But that's our job. So we're going to do our job today. And we just can't thank you enough for being a huge part of what we do on BYU TV and on BYU Sports Nation. And that's why you're wearing the T-shirt that you have on right now.
Some guy gave me this shirt. I don't know who it is, but that guy was a great guy.
For those listening on BYU Radio, it says simply, I'm here for the Cougar Tales. We all know Sean loves Cougar Tales and loves to visit in Provo. As you look back on BYU's first 3 Big 12 games, you called the opener against Arizona State. Richie Saunders went nuts. Yep. Great things for BYU. Then the Cougars got absolutely destroyed at Houston and then had a very frustrating loss to Texas Tech a couple of nights ago. So, Sean, through 3 games, Cougar Tales aside, how would you assess BYU basketball in the Big 12 right now?
Below average. I mean, if we're just going to be honest. Now, I would tell you this. I thought the Houston game was going to go the way that it went. What disappointed me is not protecting your home court against Texas Tech and how poor they shot the ball in that game. And listening to that music interlude coming in, I believe it was Jerem that said that, like, that everything hasn't clicked yet, and when it clicks, it's going to be great. It's January. It has to click. You're in conference play. You know, I mean, you look across the country right now, and if you don't protect your home court, you're going to struggle to finish in the top half of the conference. Now, one loss doesn't mean anything because you can always get it back, right? Golden opportunity to go to TCU and get a win. That erases the home loss when you win on the road, and that's kind of how you have to view it. But there has to be a level of toughness, a level of execution that has to be met. And there were times even in the game against Arizona State where the game should have been put away and the door was left open a little bit, whether it was Yegor with a couple of really careless turnovers in the second half of that game against Arizona State. It didn't matter that, you know, obviously went on to win that game. But when you go play the physicality of the defense that you're going to see night in and night out in this conference, it's legit. And for the two freshmen, they're starting to find that out. Like, Yegor had a better game last time out. We had 12 points. I think he had 6 assists, if I'm not mistaken. Better, not great. And catching struggled. You know, obviously came off that great game right before the start of conference play. Played really well against Arizona State, I thought. In particular, shooting the ball from beyond the arc. And then you have a game where just everything, kind of the wheels kind of fell off against Houston. The key is this. In the Big 12 this year, every team is probably going to take back-to-back losses. BYU just did. Yeah. How do you put the wheels back on, and how do you move forward from it? Because the conference is deep. The conference is strong. And, you know, Texas Tech is a team. And a little insight to what I'm going to do on Saturday when I have my game down in Arizona is we're talking about teams that we kind of slept on, right? Like that struggled in the non-con or didn't get a lot of notoriety in the non-conference that are playing really good basketball right now. And obviously Arizona would fall into that mix because you look at the non-conference and at one point in time they were under 500 and the only team in the Big 12 that was under 500. Now they've gone on a 5-game win streak. They're 3-0 in conference play. They've won 2 games on the road at Cincinnati and at West Virginia. West Virginia team they lost to on a neutral site. Obviously, Tucker DeVries is not playing right now. He's missed some time with an upper body injury. But they're locked in. And defensively, in all those games, 4 out of the 5 games, they haven't allowed an opponent over 70 points. And in 3 of those games, they've kept them under 65 points. Well, that's what you need to do in order to win in conference play. So when you think about where BYU is at right now, like, they're the team right now that people are like pushing, like Houston pushed them out, what, 47 points in that game?
Yeah.
Like that's insane. But that's what Houston does, right? So does that impact how you finish out a game? Like, they were in good position to win that game the other night. And I was able to go back and watch a little bit of it at the hotel after my game was over. But they had the ability to win that game, and they didn't. They didn't execute. And they got outshot at the 3-point line. You can't allow that to happen if you're BYU. You know, you want to win those games, and you think about the fact that if you get outscored by 15 points on your home floor from the 3-point line, well, then that's a working deficit. So you, without question, you shoot 21% from three. All right, what'd you do from the free throw line? Well, slightly better than 50%. That's not good. You got out-rebounded. That's not good. You know, I mean, like, in almost every major category that you would look at, outside of turnovers, which was only a 1 differential, they didn't execute the way that they needed to. And they didn't impose their will. And defensively, if you're going to allow opponents to score over 70 points in conference play, you're going to probably struggle a little bit. And you're not going to have the consistency that you want to have.
There's been a lot of discussion about the struggles of Yegor and Dallin when they're on the floor together. How would you remedy that situation?
Reps. I mean, look, I think you got to just drill it at all times. And what you have to do, in my opinion, is whoever has the ball in their hands, like, is closest to the rebounder or got the rebound, you're the point guard on that possession. You're the playmaker. Let's go. And the other one's got to slide over and play off ball and do it very well. I think that they both want the ball in their hands. They both need the ball in their hands to be successful. Like, we've seen it with Dallin over the last couple of years. When he gets into that rhythm and he gets going, he can be pretty good. He can be pretty special. And Yegor has shown a lot, in particular in the non-conference, early non-conference schedule that set the world on fire. But together, how that works, to me, it goes a lot to, like, when Baron Davis was playing with Earl Watson at UCLA. You know, and obviously you're talking about two guys that played in the league for over 10 years each, 24 seasons combined, I think, between the two of them, both elite players, but both of them wanting to be lead guards at all time. They had to learn how to play off the ball and how they could be effective in that. Sometimes there were possessions where Baron would bring the ball down. He'd pass it. Now he's off ball. we work our offense. We don't get what we want. The ball's back in Earl's hand. Earl would set up the offense, and it would just flow. But those guys were unselfish enough to understand that. I think both of them are at BYU. But that does come with time. But time is of the essence right now. Time gets delayed a little bit because of Yegor's injury. Those were lost games and lost moments. And more importantly than the games is the practices. Like, we talk about games too frequently. To me, it's about those practices during that period of time where he missed practice time and was not out on the floor working with Dallas so that they could build that chemistry and synergy that they need. I think it'll get there. But they definitely just need to be like, all right, so I'm off ball on this one, and immediately just go instead of hesitating, waiting. Am I the point? Like, you can't think. You just have to flow and get into it.
Sean Farnham of ESPN is on BYU Sports Nation. The Cougars now have to turn their attention back to trying solving something on the road. You got to go to TCU. And we were just talking about what Houston did to BYU and TCU in back-to-back games. The Cougars in red held BYU to 55. Then they held TCU to the 47 points we referenced earlier in this conversation. Yeah. So now you get the two teams that Houston just destroyed playing against each other in Fort Worth. Sean, what is the scouting report on TCU, and what do you expect in this game on Saturday?
Well, I think that this is, Jamie Dixon's teams have always defended well. But I don't think that this TCU team is nearly as good as the team he had last season. I think that because of the lack of experience, Frankie Collins' injury, that this is a team that has struggled a little bit right now and is trying to find its way. So ironically, you have these two teams that I think expectations coming into the season would have been higher for TCU than how they're performing at this point in time. I think this is a great opportunity to get a bounce back, get right game for BYU. They've got to shoot the ball a lot better, though, because one of the things that TCU has normally done is rebound the ball very well. They force you to take contested twos, so you're going to have to shoot the ball much better than 21% from three. You're going to have to stroke it with good consistency. Can you get to 35? Can you get to 40%? Can you have one of those games where everybody goes, oh, okay, that's BYU? I think they can do that. I think that on the road, I look for Richie Saunders to have a big game. And the reason why I look at Richie, and I kind of mentioned this during the broadcast, I think. If I didn't, then shame on me. But he has the capabilities to be the leader and the heartbeat of this team, because of how hard he plays, how hard he competes, and everything that he brings to the table. He's a winner, and he's done that since day one. He'd have games as a freshman that I would leave, and I'd be talking about him, and he'd have like 6 points and 4 rebounds and 2 steals.
Yeah.
And I would leave talking about him and to my broadcast partner or my producer and go on, that kid, man, he makes winning plays. And every team needs a guy like that. And I think when you have some moments like you're at right now and you lose back-to-back games of conference play, it's not time to hit the panic button. It's time to lock back in and you lean on that guy that you know is got the pulse of the locker room because of how hard he plays and what he does every single possession. And to me, that's Richie Saunders. So I think Richie's going to have a big game. Now, does big game mean that he's going to go for 30 again? Probably not. But big game means that his impact is going to be felt. Like, you're going to know Richie Saunders is out on the floor, and you're going to know that when he's out on the floor that there's a little bit more juice for BYU, and I think that that's what I'm looking forward to this weekend.
We're speaking it into reality, Sean. We appreciate the good vibes and, as always, the insight.
Can I just say one more thing about Yegor?
You bet.
Okay, because I was asked this when I left the game. Does Sean still think he's a lottery pick? Yes. But here's a couple things. One is he's careless with the basketball a little bit too much. He's a little bit too free with the basketball. Like, you love his flow, you love his ability, but he's got to learn how to play against the physicality in that which he's seen. He's got to shoot the ball with much more efficiency. He's still a lottery pick, but really, if you look at this season's draft, right, it's Cooper Flagg and Dylan Harper at 1-2. Personally, I think Dylan Harper's his game transitions maybe a little bit smoother to the NBA than Cooper Flagg, but Cooper Flagg is an outstanding player as well. After that, 3-10 is really wide open. And from everybody that I spoke to and that I've talked to, they think that Yegor is going to fall somewhere in that window. Now, how does he play his way to 3? Because at the start of the season when he came in, it was like moved up really, really quick based on his efficiency and how he was playing with the ball. Everybody loves his fluidity of his game, but he's got to be tougher and he's got to be able to deal with the physicality. And this test and this stretch in conference play is going to do that. And so, yes, he's still a lottery pick. He's still one of those guys, according to the NBA scouts, they love his upside, and they draft on upside more than they draft on production at the college level, and fans need to understand that. But he's got to start making some winning plays, and he's got to be a guy that shoots with better efficiency, values the ball, doesn't have to go for the home run pass all the time. Spencer, you were talking about that while I was on air, that you don't have to go for the home run pass every single time. How about a just solid two-hand, like just rip it and get it to the guy and cut and play off of it from there instead of trying to thread it through a small window that ends up getting deflected or goes out of bounds because they can't get to it.
Sean, you are the man. We appreciate you. Please stay safe. Send our best to your family and all your friends. And thanks for rocking the I'm Here for
Excellent
the Cougar Tales t-shirt, brother. We appreciate you. We're thinking of you and praying for you, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Sean.
I appreciate it so much. I love coming on with you guys always. And then hopefully next week I'll be a little bit more locked in than I was this week.
Oh, hey, all good, brother. Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
BYU men's basketball will look to snap the two-game losing streak on the road at TCU coming up on Saturday. Pre-game coverage begins at 1 Eastern on BYU Radio.
If Sean wasn't locked in there, I'd like to see what locked in is, because he sure felt locked in.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
The latest transfer portal movement for BYU football is on topic after the break, and BYU women's hoops picks up a very important first Big 12 win. That's on the way in headlines on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
I've got a fever, Jason, and the only remedy is headlines.
I had a fever a couple of days ago.
An actual fever.
An actual, about 102.
Glad you're better.
All right, here's an update on the latest transfer portal movement for BYU football. Yesterday, BYU announcing the signing of Baylor transfer long snapper Garrison Grimes. If that name sounds familiar, well, there's a reason. Mm-hmm. He's the son of former BYU offensive coordinator Jeff Grimes. Grimes was Baylor's primary long snapper the last three seasons. He has 1 year of eligibility remaining. Also, former BYU safety Crew Wakely committed to play at Purdue yesterday.
Boiler up!
Wakely is the second BYU player to commit to a Big Ten school this week, along with Ice Moa committing to Michigan State.
ESPN and The Athletic have released new NBA mock drafts for the 2025 draft. As of this morning, ESPN's Jonathan Givony and Jeremy Wu currently have BYU's Yegor Demian projected to go number 8 overall to the Sacramento Kings. That's interesting.
Please don't.
While The Athletic's Sam Vecenie has Demian slotted number 7 overall to the Brooklyn Nets. ESPN's Givony and Wu currently have Cannon Catchings, by the way, at number 37 in terms of best prospects on their collective big board.
BYU women's basketball picked up a big first Big 12 win of the season last night, beating Houston 89-75 at the Marriott Center. Emma Calvert scored 21 points to lead the way for BYU, while Amari Whiting added a career-high 20 points. The play of the night, though, came at the end of the second quarter. Lauren Davenport hitting this big, big three, and it sounded like this on ESPN Plus and then on BYU Radio.
With 4 and 3, gives to Davenport at the buzzer. Good! Lauren Davenport does it again.
I guess just on ESPN Plus.
Oh, man, I wanted to hear the Shepherd call.
I thought we went over that, but that's fine.
Listen, yours was better
fine.
Than mine.
We don't want to hear my highlight. I'm out of here.
We all know yours was better than mine, Jason.
No. I just thought it would be funny.
Yes.
With both of us hosting the show, we both called the game. Let's play both highlights.
Okay, well, just maybe our crew can work some magic and we can...
No,
we can
I didn't want it anymore. I don't want it now. BYU is now 1-3 in Big 12 games and will remain home this Saturday playing host to number 12 K-State.
There were two Big 12 men's games last night on the men's side. Number 11, Kansas, 74. Arizona State, 55. Not a surprise there. UCF
just might be better than people think. I know that Colorado's not great, but any road win matters, Jason, and UCF gets a big road win in Boulder by 1 point. Both Kansas and UCF are 2-1. Arizona State falls to 1-2. Colorado 0-3 in their Big 12 games.
BYU men's and women's track and field begin their final home indoor meet today at Smithfield House. The events begin at 1 Eastern and will go through Saturday.
And the Big 12 released the preseason polls for men's and women's tennis yesterday. The women's team picked 6th out of 16 teams. They're a program on the rise. The men's team picked 8th out of 9 on the men's side. After the break, we're going to ask and try and answer a loaded question. Whew, can't wait to hear what you feel about this. Would you rather have BYU switch places with SMU and lose big in the college football playoff, or leave BYU in a dominant Alamo Bowl win over Colorado? What are you taking and why? This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. He is Jason Shepherd. I am Spencer Linton. Okay. We've been hanging on to this question for a little bit.
You brought this up last night, and I'm like, I love it. I love it.
An ultimate would you rather, okay? Looking big picture, after the fact, with 2020 hindsight in play here. Would you rather have BYU football switch places with SMU, having lost 38-10 at Penn State, but you're in the college football playoff? You made the playoff. You just got blown up by Penn State on the road. Or would you leave BYU in their dominant 36-14 win over Colorado that happened to be played in front of 8 million viewers on ABC primetime in the Alamo Bowl, less prestigious, less money than the CFP, but still all the good vibes go along with that, and BYU finishes their season in a win. Jason, considering those things,
yes,
looking at them through a microscope in each of their individual cases, what's better? What are you taking? Would you rather the playoff or BYU's current situation?
I love this question, and I surprised myself a little bit on the answer, because normally I'm the, you know, do you want to go to the NIT and play a lot of games, or do you want to go to the NCAA tournament and unfortunately lose in the first round?
Tournament.
You go to the tournament, yes. And normally I would say, yeah, of course you go to the college football playoff, especially since you hadn't gone before. And it's showing this step up, and it is a grander stage. But what tipped the scales for me is the aftermath of both.
The rhetoric.
You look at these two teams, you look at how people are talking about SMU after the loss.
SM poo is what I saw on social media.
That they shouldn't have been there.
I know that's super.
Yes, it's juvenile.
Yeah,
yeah.
Stupid.
But they shouldn't have been there. And I'm not saying this is what I believe. I'm just saying this is the perception afterwards. They shouldn't have been there. They were a fraud and, you know, that kind of stuff. On the other side of things, BYU, this is a team. We should have really thought about putting them in the college football playoff a lot more.
What is the narrative around both programs?
And by the way, where were all those people a month ago? You know, we really could have used you. But, yeah, so for me, I think I'm taking BYU because of the way that they are perceived after the fact. And I think BYU is going to get a little bit bigger jump going into next year because of the way the season ended.
Yes. And for the record, SMU is a great team.
Very good team. Absolutely.
Playing at Penn State in the college football playoff with over 100,000 fans in that happy valley, whew, that's a huge environment. And it was tough. So this is not that I don't respect SMU or think they're a good team, because I do. I think they deserve to be there. I think BYU deserved to be more in the conversation. But to your point, the rhetoric surrounding both, right now, the general public in the college football world, whether it's educated or not, it is what it is, think that SMU was fraudulent, didn't deserve to be there, should have put Alabama in. We saw it happen to Alabama. Should have put South Carolina. Saw it happen to South Carolina. Should have put Ole Miss in. Okay,
yeah.
Fine, whatever. Take one of those SEC teams. That was the rhetoric once SMU got blown out. Like, would you want BYU to be in that position where everybody's like saying, see, told you, BYU's fraudulent.
They were immediately dismissed.
Completely. Totally forgotten, right? Like, SMU, get them out of here. Then BYU goes to the Alamo Bowl and does what they do. And now 8 million people see that game, and all of the major college football publications are saying, huh,
Yeah, they probably deserved a little bit closer examination when it comes to should they be in the college football playoff. Like, if there's a team that had the strongest case that didn't get in, it's BYU. Now BYU took the place of Ole Miss and Alabama and South Carolina and Miami, of all those teams that were like, oh, they've got the biggest gripe. All of a sudden, right now, BYU's got the biggest gripe.
Yes.
Because of what happened in the Alamo Bowl. So as dumb as it might sound to some of you, crazy, like, no, you always go to the playoff. I don't care if you get blown out by Penn State. Like, you went to the playoff. You can hang your hat on that. You qualified for the playoff. I would argue that what BYU did in the Alamo Bowl, it will help recruiting more because you dominated the number one quarterback that's probably going to take in the draft. You shut down in large part the Heisman Trophy winner. You quieted the Dion primetime circus. It was so good for BYU. And you end on a win, Jason.
Yes.
That matters.
And a lot of people saw it.
Momentum matters. BYU's probably going to finish in the final AP poll right around number 12. You can use that to catapult yourself in the next season. BYU, I expect, will be a top 20 team going into next season. The head start, the pole position matters. In that, like, trying to get ahead. So if BYU starts quick again next season, like, all of a sudden they're flirting with the top 10 3 weeks into the season instead of, you know, 9 weeks into the season. So I'm with you. The rhetoric surrounding what BYU is now compared to what SMU is, I know financially and prestige,
yes.
Like, I'm taking all that into consideration. The vibes right now around BYU because of what happened, I'm with you, man. It sounds dumb, but like, I am fully in on, I would stay with what BYU did right now.
Look, we live in a society where perception is reality, right? And after both of those games.
How is BYU perceived compared to SMU right now?
The perception of BYU is significantly higher than SMU based off of the outcomes of the two bowl games.
I'm fascinated by this.
I know. And I'm with you. I think BYU will see a bump from that. I'm very curious to see how much of a bump they will see come around next year when you're talking about some of these preseason polls, because you bring so much production back.
Yes.
And then you're like, oh, and then remember what they did to Colorado? Remember how they finished the year? I cannot wait to see how that translates going into next year.
And I know there are several detractors who are like, yeah, but what was Colorado? They're the most overrated team in college. It doesn't matter. The large part of perception has BYU should have been in the college football playoff because of what happened.
Yeah, well, and most people didn't think that they were overrated for most of the year, so.
It's true. We're both there.
Yeah.
Hey, Rock, remember the Alamo.
That's right.
Okay? Takes on a whole new meaning.
Yes, it does. Did you go to the basement when you were there?
I didn't go to the basement. I should have.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
The reference from Pee-wee?
Yes.
Okay.
I should have.
All right.
I should have. I've had a few people ask me, like, what does the basement look like?
We're old. Fine. Yes. We're referencing a movie from like 1985. It's fine. Oh, boy. It's time to go to break now. I did not see it going that direction.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how concerned are you about BYU's NCAA tournament chances right now? This is BYU Sports Nation.
Jeez.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation. We have a few more questions to answer before we finish the show. Like, who do we think will win the Orange Bowl tonight to advance to the national championship game? Frankly, Jason, who do you want to win this game so they play in the national championship?
I think the answer for both is Notre Dame.
Go Irish.
Yeah, it's Notre Dame for me. And I did not go into the college football playoff thinking I was going to be pulling for Notre Dame. But that's the way it's
played. Neither did I. In fact, it's why I wore my Notre Dame green today.
That's why.
Go Irish
okay.
today. Yes.
Only
one of us got the memo to wear BYU gear on the BYU show, apparently.
Fine.
Yeah, go Irish. I'm all in.
I want
the name brand. I want them to have an opportunity to prove that they are actually legit and have to beat either Ohio State or Texas in a national championship.
I think they've got a great chance.
I like
tonight.
Marcus Freeman, too. I think he's a great coach. He's a good dude.
It's a good story.
Our question of the day, on a scale of 1 to 10, how concerned are you about BYU's NCAA tournament chances right now? Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, from Hayden's Hockley on Instagram, says 6. The fact BYU has no quad one wins is concerning. Hope they figure things out before it's too late. Plenty of games left, Jason.
Lots of basketball still to play.
Today's Rise and Shadow presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Speaking of basketball.
Yeah, let's give it to BYU women's basketball. First Big 12 win of the season. You also had a career high from Amari Whiting of 20 points. Cambry Barber, career high 10 rebounds for the freshman as well. Lots of good vibes with BYU women's basketball last night.
It was a big win last night.
Yes, it was.
Our thanks to today's guest, our friend Sean Farnham, and prayers to everyone suffering from the effects of the wildfires in L.A.
Conversation continues 24-7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All of our shows are on demand on BYUSN.com.
For Jason Shepard, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Kylie Maeda. We'll see you tomorrow for another live edition of BYUSN. Go Cougs!